information later on in the service about how you can let us know that you're here if you'd like to do that. But that we'll do that in due course. We're in a series at the moment called God of the Movies. So we have popcorn and some thematic candy, which you'll find more out about later on in the service. So help yourself to that. Feel free to move around, grab a bag of popcorn for the service. And we're going to start now with just a prayer. I'm sure we've all had a mixture of different experiences over the past week, even perhaps this morning. We might be feeling really super energized and relaxed, or we might be feeling a little downcast, troubled. We're all bringing our full selves to this place. So let's just take a moment to quieten our hearts. Might help to close our eyes and just be aware of how you're feeling right now, without judgment, without passing comment or sentence on ourselves. Just be aware of what's going on. Aware of how our bodies feel, how our minds feel, how our hearts feel. And then let's just focus on our breathing. Something we do every second of every minute of every day without thinking about it. Let's be conscious of the life that it represents in us. The very presence of God to us. And let's breathe in God's love, complete love. No matter how we're feeling, we are fully, totally loved and accepted. And that means we're in a safe space here to be ourselves. And as we breathe out, let's let go of tension, of fear, of self-doubt. Whatever we want to let go of, let it go. So, God, we're grateful. We're so grateful for the life we have, for this beautiful day. And thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to experience one another's friendship, to experience your presence, and to be a community together. Thank you for this time. We're grateful. So if you are able to, please stand. We're going to sing some songs to begin, and then we'll move on with some other things.
You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea.
Says, let the king of my heart, let the king of my heart rule, let the king of my heart exist. Let's sing together. King of my heart, here we go.
Let the king of my heart,
sing it out.
Be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, it is my song. Let the king of my heart,
shadow. Good,
you are good, oh, you are good,
yeah, sing that again, you are good,
you are. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails,
the anchor in my waves, all is my soul.
Let the king of my heart. Let the king of my heart,
let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails.
That's it, sing it out. Let the king of my heart. says you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Yeah, you sing. Sing it again.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Yeah, come on, sing that again. Sing together. You are good. You are good. Come on, sing it out. Oh, you are good. You are good. You are good. Oh, you are good. Come on, you are good. You are. Just sang, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. Take a minute, just spend a minute thinking about how you see the goodness of God in your life. So I'm gonna give you 30 seconds. Just think of one thing, okay? I'm not gonna bug you. Go ahead, think of one thing. 30 seconds. What's good? All right, say it out loud. What's good?
Jesus.
Jesus. What else? Say it. What's good? Family. Yeah. Come on, what else is good? Y'all in the back too. Yeah, I see y'all. What's good? Retirement. Good. What else? What's good?
Music.
Music. Good. You don't have to wait for each other. Just keep saying it. What's good? What's good? Family. What's good? Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Yeah.
The smell of popcorn.
The smell of popcorn. Yeah. Good. What else? What's good? Tell me what's good. The sun. The rain. Yes. New opportunities. Good. What's good? What's good? Yes. Because you guys know if I said what's bad, we'd be talking for an hour, right? Sometimes we get out of practice about saying out loud what's good. So let's sing. You are good. Come on. Sing it out. Come on, come on. Again. You are
good.
You are good. You are
good.
Oh. Yeah, let's be a people who are always in practice of saying what is good and not keeping it to ourselves and keeping it out loud. Yes? God, thank you so much for all the good things that you've given to us in this moment. We're so grateful. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can have your seat. To be together, it's really good to be together. Welcome back to Cedar Ridge. If we haven't met yet, my name is Nikki Lerner. I get to be one of your pastors here, and it's a good day to be alive. There are two things I want to tell you about today. Well, three. One is, if you're new to Cedar Ridge, even if you're not new to Cedar Ridge, but you had some questions that you're like, I've never asked anybody about this thing. Well, we do something called Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes after the service. It's in the back corner back there where there's light. Don't worry, it's not creepy. It's back there in the corner where the lights are. And after service, you can hang out with somebody from our church and get your questions answered. Maybe not all of them, but at least some of them. I think that would be fair. The second thing I want to tell you about is that this month on week 5, August 30th, we are doing another community sing. Yeah. Excited. Yes. I'm so excited. We are doing another community sing. All right. Now, community sing is a time where we come together, and anybody who wants to sing and join an ensemble for worship, you can do it. And that's the day to do it. We come together. We make up what some call a choir. I'm not calling it a choir yet. It's community sing. But we basically make an ensemble together. Now, if you go to this church, it's awesome. Come sing. It'll be super simple, nothing too hard for you, and you can join the group together. If you know somebody that you think to yourself, oh my gosh, Janet would love to sing in community sing. I don't know who Janet is. Or, you know, Leroy. I'm making people up now. Leroy would love to sing in community sing. If you have somebody in your family, somebody you work with, somebody that's a friend, bring them, okay? People do not have to be a member of Cedar Ridge Community Church to sing in community sing, okay? So if there's somebody around you that you think it would be a lot of fun to do that, do it. There is a sign-up required, so I do need to know that you're coming, all right? Very important, so that you can also get the songs ahead of time, okay? But that will happen on Sunday, August the 30th. Really excited about that. The last thing I want to talk to you about is during the month of August, we are really focusing on generosity and giving. And there's kind of three ways that we think about it here at Cedar Ridge. There is a personal way that you can give time. So you see people serving in the band, you see people doing readings, you see people do all kinds of things in the church. That's a great way to be generous and to give. There's always also a practical way that you can give. If you know of some really cool things that people don't want anymore, notice I said really cool things. So let me make this really clear. If you know somebody that's got a great piano and you think to yourself, the church could use a piano, but you hit the key and it sounds terrible to you, we probably don't want that, just so you know. But, you know, some things that you think maybe the church could use, that's a great way to help be generous and to give. And then you can also give of your financial resource. Right now, our fiscal year ends at the end of August. At this point right now, we are at about 86% of our giving goal, which is actually pretty high, right? But we would love to hit 100% of our giving goal by the end of the month, which is the end of our fiscal year. So if you've been thinking about giving financially to Cedar Ridge and giving to the work of the ministry, this is a great month to do it. And if you have any questions, you can connect with Sarah House, who is our director of operations, to help you out. That sound good? Yeah. Thank you all this morning for in every way that you've served already in being generous. We appreciate you. So that's all I got today, y'all. So we're going to take a minute. We're going to dismiss our children to Cedar Ridge Kids. And then we're going to take some time as a community to just hang out with each other for a little bit. So find somebody you know, find somebody you don't know, and just ask them how they're doing today. All right? And break.
All right. I do, yes. Hello, hello, hello. Consider this the end of the previews. Everyone will take another 30 seconds for the greeting, and then you'll have to listen to me. All righty. Already, already, already. Okay. Good morning, Cedar Ridge. Good morning, everybody. I'm Colin Anderson, and today we will be continuing our series, God in the Movies, with Academy Award winner Jordan Peele's third feature film, Nope. If you squint at that sign, it kind of looks like Nope. It says Hope, but you know. It is truly an honor to be up here presenting in front of you all, not because I love being the center of attention, at least not entirely so, not just because I have a genuine love and appreciation for movies, so much so that I took a day trip to New York City to see The Odyssey, one of the largest IMAX screens in the country. Not entirely related to today's message, but if you can, please go see The Odyssey. It's very good. But I am honored because I've been coming to Cedar Ridge for more than 20 years now. A fact that might be a bit jarring to those that have known me since I was about yay high and used to make a beeline for the donut cart every morning. On to the message. So, Nope is a very abstract movie. So, the first part of my message this morning will be attempting to guide you through its beautifully absurd plot. Due to both my pride and, again, my existing passion for movies, this may come as a surprise in 2026, but I refuse to use any AI as I prepared for this. So, any ink, yes, shout out to that. So, any incoherence or confusion, you can blame me, not ChatGPT. All right. So, the film itself starts with us meeting two members of the Haywood family, Otis Sr. and Otis Jr. Right out the gate, we witness the family being struck by tragedy and their attempts to operate as usual in the aftermath.
Okay. Oh, hey, horsey.
Hey, don't open that.
Okay. You ready to do the safety meeting?
I'm gonna need like five. My team's almost here.
Your team's not here. Okay. Hold. Sorry, I got the host guy talking to me too. What's up? Copy. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Bonnie Clayton on set.
There she is, everybody. Take a look at all of that.
Okay. This is OJ, our first trainer. You remember these guys from First Point?
Yeah, right.
Your name is OJ?
Yeah, Otis Jr.
Oh.
Where's the other guy? The senior guy?
He died about 6 months ago. Like a random out of a plane. So I guess we're stuck with Junior.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. And how we looking?
Yeah, good if we're selling our horses.
It's a legendary cinematographer, Antlers Olsen.
Let's go ahead and spin these.
You said hold, so.
And now I'm saying spin. Let's go.
Great. And while that's spinning, can we get makeup?
Makeup for Miss Bonnie.
You step away from that, please.
They told me to quick call, OJ. Tell you what, let's do a quick safety meeting. Guys, this is OJ, our horse trainer. Take it away.
My name is OJ. I think my sister's gonna be here in a minute. I said we are animal wranglers with Haywood Hollywood Horses. And did you know the very first sim.
So sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello! How y'all doing? Sorry for the tardiness. My name is Emerald. That's OJ. And we are your animal wranglers today with Haywood Hollywood Horses. Now, did you know that the very first assembly of photographs in sequential order to create a motion picture was a 2 second clip of a black man on a horse? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Look it up. Now, I know you guys know Edward Warbridge, the grandfather of motion pictures, who took the pictures that created that clip. But does anybody know the name of the black jockey that rode the horse?
No.
Nope. I mean, the very first stuntman, animal wrangler, and movie star all rolled into one, and there is literally no record of him. That man was a Bahamian junkie that went by the name of Alistair E. Haywood, and he is my great-great-grandfather.
Great.
There's another great-grandfather. That's why back at the Haywood Ranch, as the only black-owned horse trainers in Hollywood, we like to say since the moment bitches could move, we had skin in the game.
Huh.
All right, let's get into some safety precautions while we're on set, shall we? Number one, please refrain from making any loud noises, sudden movements, and keep your cell phones off. We'd really appreciate that. Two, if you see anything that looks or feels unsafe, contact me, OJ, or your second in chain of command. And three, let's have a great shoot. And I'm M.O. Haywood. I direct, write, produce, act. I do a little singing on the side. Motorcycles, baby. Look, I make a mean grilled cheese. If you're looking for crafty, just holler at me.
Okay, that was great. That was a lot. Let's do a rehearsal. Yeah, rehearsal.
Rehearsal. We should do one.
Rehearsal. I think you might need a break.
Rehearsal first.
Well, I'm ready to do one.
Okay, you ready to do one? Tell the horse we're ready to do one.
VFX, can we get the ball in here while we have set?
Yeah. VFX, OG, you can step off. Step out. Yeah. Step off. Yeah. Step out.
Amp.
What's the horse's name? Lucky.
Right.
Let's see.
VFX.
Yeah, Amp.
OG, let's step off.
Hey,
man, if you can't get back to the horse, what are we doing here?
Hey. Whoa.
So, as we see in this clip, we get an introduction to OJ and M, a brief history of Hollywood's exploitation of Black talent, and a display of a lack of empathy as the producer only cared about the commercial and rudely brushed off hearing that Otis Sr. passed away. As you could probably guess, the Haywoods don't get the commercial gig after the horse incident at the end there, and their financial struggles in the wake of their father's passing are bound to continue. To help the situation, OJ continues a business relationship with the owner of a nearby amusement park to the ranch, Ricky. Oh, sorry. Ricky. Technical difficulties, I'm sorry. Ricky. By letting the park rent the horses. In one of the following scenes, we learn that Ricky was a former child star of a TV show called Gordy's Home, which had a terrible accident. Now, this next part is complex, so bear with me. I'm going to try to explain it, like I said. So on the show that Ricky was on, they employed a chimpanzee named Gordy to be the comedic relief. In the taping of one episode, a balloon pops on set and causes Gordy to have a violent outburst, where he severely injures most of the main cast except Ricky, who hides under a table in fear instead of trying to get in Gordy's way or retaliate against him. This lore, while not central to the film at first, is another glaring example of the dangers of taking advantage of others. We see how Hollywood's mistreatment of both Ricky as just a young child and Gordy as a domesticated wild animal led to them both being put in uncomfortable situations for the sake of entertainment. Unfortunately, the rest of the cast of Gordy's Home learned that the hard way, and Gordy paid the ultimate price for simply following his instincts. After returning home from their meeting with Ricky, OJ and M encounter something unique during some sibling bonding time. From loud, shrieking noises soaring across the sky in the middle of the night to fully charged electronics suddenly turning off in an instant, to the rest of the horses on the ranch acting more spooked than ever, there's only one explanation. Now, I know we dismissed the kids. I will caveat, this next clip does have some colorful language, so apologies in advance. Like most bantering siblings, OJ and M aren't afraid to be their most authentic selves together.
What's it by Amira? We gotta work for that.
No?
They said it was a problem, and so make it feel. That never makes sense to me. That's a 900 ghost make a sound. I ain't never heard a horse make.
What did you see?
That's big.
How big?
Big.
What did it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The quiet to be playing.
Okay. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Man, you don't need a lot. You just need enough to make our look different from what's out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I ain't trying to run it up. I just was looking online and I seen a lot of.
You know, I'm broke, right?
We use my money. Just shut up. Look. All right. There it is. 5 to 100K.
Oh, read it.
You read it. The point is, a website like Cyber Dominion will pay 5 to 100K for photographic evidence of UFO.
Okay.
And that's just what I saw on the first go. Now that I'm thinking about it, Cyber Dominion, it right here is a moment. I don't know. You set it up at least the right way. Yeah, I'm talking rich and famous for life. How you doing? You look pretty. It's like she got a big house.
How?
How well? How we put it out? Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't just go for the quick cash in, okay? We go to an incredible platform to do the story.
What's that, like Oprah?
Yeah, like Oprah, for example. After that, everybody want in.
But I'm saying there's plenty of videos of flying through online. I saw one the other day that wasn't on Oprah.
Didn't say Oprah. You said Oprah. You love Oprah. Like, all I'm saying is all the online is fake. Low quality. Ain't nobody gonna get what we gonna get.
What we gonna get?
The shot.
The shot.
The shot. The money shot. Undeniable, singular. The Oprah shot.
The Oprah shot?
Excuse me. Hi, right, I can help you over here. Hi. Thank you for stopping at Ferrari. Did you find everything you're looking for today?
Yes. Angel.
Great. Actually, do you have a card with us?
No, thank you.
No, would you like one? Because
no, thank you.
Would you like one of our tech support personnel to help you with the installation?
No. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. No help with the install. Suit yourself.
Is it a hard install?
For me, no. You're not going to be able to do it. What happened? Did you guys get robbed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of blackouts. Take the camera out from time to time.
All these new cameras, they have backup battery power, so. You should be fine.
But yeah, it just affected the power battery to, like, cell phones.
Okay. All right. Cell phones, they don't just drop in power, right? I mean, maybe your Wi-Fi drops out whenever your system dips. So that's technology. Okay, or maybe you're in a UFO hotspot.
No one believes in that.
So, as you can see, they do opt for the install, and they do try their best to capture the UFO. Despite their own experiences with being exploited by Hollywood and learning of the Gordy's Home incident, like most people in our current society, the siblings' first thought is how they can turn their situation into a monetized spectacle. As the film progresses, even with the assistance of the tech support staffer named Angel, it's safe to say the group is still struggling to get their money shot. They try to set up elaborate traps and use the latest technology to try and capture evidence, but they still continue to be met with no luck. At this point, I was reminded of the very beginning of the movie where a verse from the Book of Nahum is shown on screen. In Nahum 3, we read, "Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots. Horsemen charged with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show you the nations of your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle." In the Bible, Nahum's prophecy is directed at the wealthy, ruthless city of Nineveh, which was notorious for its exploitation of neighboring regions. I believe Jordan Peele specifically chose this verse to draw a parallel to our modern fascination with exploitation and spectacle. The filth that God threatens in the Old Testament is realized in a horrifying way in the movie, with the UFO continuing to terrorize the Haywood Ranch while they try to capture evidence of its existence for their personal benefit. After calling in some help from a renowned cinematographer that they met during their limited time on the commercial shoot, they receive a valuable piece of advice.
According to American Cinema Magazine, you make the cinematically impossible. So, we're looking for the impossible shot. There's something out here in Agua Dulce, and you're probably the only person in the world that could get it. That's it.
Mars Girl. The dream I never wake up from.
I don't like.
Even after failed attempts and elderly wisdom, the desire to take advantage of the UFO supersedes their logic and personal well-being. What we later learn too is that in addition to the Haywoods having repeated encounters with the UFO, Ricky has had his own relationship with it. While we are originally led to believe that he was simply renting the Haywoods horses for fanfare at his amusement park, he's actually been using them as bait to regularly lure the UFO as a sort of grand weekly attraction. In one instance, he does so, but unfortunately for Ricky and the crowd of 50 other parents and children in attendance that day, this time the UFO decides to consume them too, not just the horses. While this is understandably a very complex, and if you've seen the film, a bit gruesome way to do so, this turning point in the movie is yet another lesson in how exploitation will only lead us to destroy ourselves. When Ricky was a young boy witnessing Gordy's attack with his own eyes, his youthful innocence caused him to show empathy towards Gordy. As an adult, Ricky took advantage of the Haywood family, their horses, and something special that he was blessed to encounter but didn't fully understand, and tried to turn it into selfish profit. Once again, this reminded me of something from the Old Testament. In Exodus 32, we read, "And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Like the idolaters in the book of Exodus constructing the golden calf and declaring it as God, Ricky's greed blinded him, resulting in the demise of him and his supporters. Witnessing this tragedy from afar, it's clear to the Haywoods that the UFO, now jokingly named Jean Jacket after one of the family's childhood horses, it isn't an alien ship. It's an alien, a predator, something that is coming back to feast. Despite this knowledge, they still can't help but go for the Oprah shot. At this point, the alien phenomenon has gone beyond the residents of Agua Dulce, California, and news of the opportunity for the Oprah shot has spread to a more familiar evil. Oh, there was a whole other verse I didn't read. I'm sorry. They made themselves, I kind of buried the lead. They made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation.
A white motorcycle.
I'm seeing that crown.
Who you with? Nobody.
Yeah, I'm not going to know what you mean.
Yeah, look, you're doing a camera test for a Verizon commercial, so no, I'm going to need you to clear the road.
This whole valley comes up as blurry on Google Maps. You really tucked away back here.
You put a claim? Look if you go all the way around.
Yeah. Actually, what happened with Jim Park and all those people? He was basically your neighbor, right? So what? They vanished? You don't believe in flood narrative, do you?
Guys, it's PMV.
Oh, I mean, I hate you guys. A jean jacket.
What's the matter with you? You want to be on TV?
Man, I'm trying to tell you. You don't want to go that way.
You're lost, nobody.
Fellas, here comes. Over.
Up there, guys. What happens when an electric bike going 60 miles per hour gets an anti-electric field going in the opposite
direction? I'll admit, using TMZ here is perhaps a bit heavy-handed, but it's also the most realistic example in the film of our current age of monetization, showing that even when conflicting forces of greed arise, there are no winners. After the climactic action sequence in the film, one that we won't show but is truly worth a watch on your own time if you have the chance, we get the best and most unobstructed view of Jean Jacket. It descends down from the sky, almost like a biblically accurate angel, with enormous white wings majestically floating through the sky. Following this reveal that something previously feared is actually something beautiful just trying to survive, OJ also realizes that the best way to coexist with it is to just let it be. He realizes that if you stare at Jean Jacket, it'll come after you, but if you don't make eye contact, it won't be provoked. Once that's understood, he does what it takes to sacrifice himself and give M another chance at life.
Oh.
Oh.
idea that looking directly at Jean Jacket means certain death, again, ties back to the book of Exodus, where there was belief in the concept of a God so holy, so powerful, and so wrathful that looking directly upon the divine means immediate destruction. In Exodus 33, we read, "Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." Again, I won't say too much because it's worth experiencing for yourself, but M does end up getting the Oprah shot thanks to OJ's distraction. Ironically, as the film ends and M lays on the ground in disbelief, recovering from the whole ordeal, we see a slew of news trucks pulling up from Hollywood ready to document it all. Overall, there's a lot I didn't include because I tried not to complicate this any more than I already did, but there's plenty to take from Nope and its commentary on our growing culture of trying to capture and own some of the most beautiful parts of life just for clout and profit. Those who treat Jean Jacket in the film as a spectacle, like Ricky, suffer swift divine retribution, but those who are filled with respect are bound to have a better fate. Even in situations where we find ourselves having the opportunity to experience something out of this world, something that you have to see to believe, it's critical for us to realize that our differences are what makes us beautiful, not what gives us a platform to try and rise above or take advantage of each other. As God's creations, if we keep exploiting each other and abandoning empathy, our greed and arrogance, much like Jean Jacket, will consume us all. As I close out, if the band wants to make their way back up, I just wanted to give a thank you to everyone here today and online. Again, this may not have been the most coherent. If you see the film, it may make a bit more sense. To the media team that helped me put this together, to the pastoral staff that were brave enough to let me get on this stage and ramble to you all, and of course, to my mom who gave me the confidence to come up here. Thank you all for the time.
Thank you, Colin. That was very coherent. Don't worry about that at all. That was great. We're going to have a time of communion now. This is something we do every week. We have some tables at the front here inside and one in the middle where there are gluten-free crackers and fruit juice. And so that's how we celebrate this ancient tradition each week. And something that strikes me from the movie and from what Colin shared with us is the cycle of violence, the cycle of greed, and how even when we experience violence, maybe even when we experience abuse, we are one way of responding to that is to be violent, to be abusive, and we see that pattern in life so frequently in our own lives and in the world as a whole. We see it throughout history, and communion is a time when we remember the death of Jesus, and you know, in religious terms, all kinds of people have all kinds of perspectives on why Jesus died. But I think one common theme to all those different perspectives is that Jesus broke the cycle of violence. So hatred, prejudice, false narratives about Jesus and what he was doing were thrown at him, and Jesus responded in a non-violent way, because Jesus embodied love. And love is what breaks that cycle of violence. But that almost, at least, inevitably means sacrifice. And we see that played out in the movie. So we're celebrating the power of love when we take communion. And it's not an easy thing. It's a gruesome thing in many respects, because it's so costly, and it's so difficult. So let's come together this morning as people who are saying, acknowledging our own weakness and our own imperfections, that we're saying together as a community, as followers of Jesus, we want to be participants in breaking the cycle of violence, breaking the cycle of greed, breaking the cycle of hatred in all its different forms. And we have more power together to do that than we do on our own. And there are millions of people around the world today celebrating communion. As we take it collectively,
Let's pray that we would really understand what it means to break that cycle of violence, rather than religion becoming, ironically, yet another perpetrator of hatred, perpetrator of violence. So it's a celebration. It's also a statement of hope this morning to take communion. There's different stations around the room as well. There's places where you can write out prayers at the side. We have people at the back of the room who would love to pray with you if you have a particular need right now, if you've come with a burden that you want to share. And we have places at the back where you can light candles as a symbol of prayer, as a symbol of hope, various different stations. So please feel free to move around and take communion if you'd like to. Everybody's welcome to do that. So I'm going to pray and then we'll continue on with communion. Jesus, we are really grateful that you found us. And grateful that we have been found. And we just ask that in this moment, as we acknowledge you, as we remember you, as we think about what was, help us to embrace what is, your presence, your divine presence of love in this moment. And as we do something so simple like eating and drinking, to remember you, empower us to live in this miraculous kind of way. We ask this in your name. Amen. So please come forward and take communion or in the middle whenever you're ready.
Sing that again. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life.
All my life you have been so good.
So
I will sing. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Sing that again, your goodness. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out. With my life, with my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Sing that again, your goodness. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Come on, sing that out. With my life, with my life laid down, I surrender now. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Let's go. All my life you've been faithful.
All my life you have been faithful.
Stand if you're willing and able. Let's sing that again. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I have made.
Oh,
I will sing of the goodness.
One more time, all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able,
I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
You stay in that space. And in this moment, let's just take a minute. And Dave, you can keep playing. Let's take a moment and consider anything that God brought up for you today. Anything that came to mind. So just utilize the space to think about it. Just recall. Did anything come to mind while you were listening to Colin speak? The scriptures that he shared, did he remind you of something? Think about if you've been challenged. Is there a mindset that was made aware of you that maybe the Spirit of God said, hey, I need you to look at that? Did anything come up for you? Anybody in the room willing to share what came up for you today with the community? Anybody willing? Just wave at me if you are. Yes, I'm coming to you. Everybody get that? It's a lot of loss. A lot of loss going on here in the family. Who would be willing to come over here and join me and pray? Hold us in this moment with this grief. We just hold this together as a community. Francis and Jan do not have to hold it themselves, God. We pray that your presence just comes in this moment. Come, Jesus, we need you right now. Our hearts are crying out. It is so hard to let go of people we love. It is so hard to say goodbye. And I pray that you're with Jan and Francis in this moment as they both are dealing with loss of a brother and a mother. They are still here, Lord, in this moment. And I pray that you give them space to be together with those they love. I pray you are just so deeply in that space. We need you, God. We need you. And I pray that each one here carries a little bit of that burden with them this week and lifts it up to you, that we carry this as a community. And we hold those that we love tenderly. Give us strength for the hard things in this life and wisdom to see the joys. Thank you for Jan's brother's life and Francis's mother's life and the beauty and the joy and the experiences and the memories and the wisdoms that they've shared with us. Thank you for life. It is so precious. Thank you, God. I love you. Amen. God, we breathe you in. You all just want to take a deep breath with me right now. Just breathe in God's love. It is free. It is waiting for us at every moment. God will always seek you out. God, thank you for your presence in our breath, in our life. I pray for the things that we're carrying that feel heavy
We invite you into that space where your burden is light. I pray that we have the strength to let go of those things we're carrying, of those desires to take and capture and be at the forefront on the stage, getting the recognition like we saw in the movie today. There are so many things that call our attention, God, that are not of you. I pray that you break those things down in us right now. Breathe that out. Breathe out what you're ready to let go of. And invite God into your heart. Invite hope and love into your heart in this moment. And I pray that we walk forward with that hope this week, leaning into the strength of God and the wisdom of all that comes with that. And I pray that you help us see through your eyes, in your creative, beautiful, inviting.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, band, for leading us. Thank you, Colin, for sharing with us all. And if, you know, maybe you didn't feel courageous enough or safe enough, perhaps, to say that you're in need. I mean, that goes for all of us, right? We're all in need in various ways. That's one thing we have in common. But please don't feel you have to leave without reaching out to somebody. So we have Cedaridge in 7 minutes at the back corner there. If you want to talk about something in private, not you know in that public setting, but just come back there and let us know. You can see Kate at the back still if you wanted to chat with Kate or with Nikki or myself. Please feel free to do that. Nobody needs to leave here today with a burden that they're carrying on their own. If you have questions about Cedar Ridge or you just want to meet somebody, again, please join us for Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes. We'd love to chat with you. And if you're joining us online, just hang on after we say the benediction together and you'll be able to chat face-to-face with other people who are online at the moment as well. So hang on in there. So let's all say this benediction together. May God's peace be with you and may Jesus give you love with faith in us. And may God's grace be eternally upon everyone. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Have a really good one.
Feel free to unmute yourselves if you'd like to stay and talk. Hello, Rose.
Oh, okay. My mic was muted. How are you? Good to see you all.
Good morning. Good to see you too. You're doing well.
Awesome. Awesome.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm doing okay. Thank you. I was at the ER a couple of days ago, but thank God it wasn't anything that serious. It was just my nerves acting up on my left shoulder and going into my arms.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The nurses scared me when I spoke with them. So you have to get to the emergency room. You may be having a stroke. And I said, I'm not having a stroke.
Oh,
I
scary.
finally, yes, after many hours of saying no, I finally said, oh, let me not be regret, you know, let me not regret not going. So I did, but I'm glad everything is kind of good. Oh, thank God for that.
Okay, good. So you're fine?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
That's good. Well, it's good that you got it checked out just in case, because the worries can get you, even if
Yeah,
it's not anything.